Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 13 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality and you're thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you're just interested in getting some tips on how to elevate your career status. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners. We have reality TV stars and working professionals, which include producers and directors and casting directors and agents and talent managers and screenwriters and PR agents and publicists and, of course, actors. It's all about the actors, really. Comedians. We have singers, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity makeup artists. And every year around December, I always have an entertainment lawyer or attorney, because believe me, you do not want to get into any entertainment industry contract or pretty much any business without having a lawyer. But, you know, you got to have an entertainment lawyer. You really, really do. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to our past shows. Number one, we have free mobile apps at the App Store or the Google Play Store. You can go to our archive page and listen directly from the website. You're listening to us right now, so you can just scroll down to all of the shows. You can also refer us, latalkradio.com. And tell them to look for the show title, which is Question Reality. And they can look for my name, Priscilla Leona, under the host tab. We're also available on iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And we kindly ask you to do us a big juicy favor. Please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcasts. We want your little thumb. Put the little thumb or the little forefinger and subscribe. It's free. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, showcase the projects or products even, or just they might want to just come on and help listeners by providing career advice. So in order to do that, now you got to focus, because I'm going to switch gears here. You have to go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com, not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously latalkradio.com. This is the website where we air our show. So again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. And this is also where you can see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who's coming up, who the upcoming guests are, and check out their sites. So if you want to know, hey, I want to be a script supervisor, what does that entail? You can go and say, oh, there's a script supervisor, or it could be a celebrity makeup artist, or it could be someone that teaches professional stunts to the actors. So you would go there and check that out. Now, to submit to be booked to the show, just click the contact link. Really, really easy and short. We just need your name, email, title, and website, and then we will consider you for a guest. You will be considered. Okay, so, oh my gosh, I have been waiting to have this guest on for years, like literally years. He's a hot tomato, hot biscuit, anything you want to call him that's hot. He's everybody. He's in demand. He's in demand. He's a busy man. And we are going to be talking to him in 1 minute. First, I want to tell you, this is the last week. Okay, so you know I had the celebrity fashion designer, Bernie Martin. He was a guest on my show a couple weeks ago, and he generously decided to give one of my listeners a free custom design shirt. Now, this guy designs for the stars, so you need to take this seriously if you want to say, I had a custom design shirt. This is just like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that you can possibly win a shirt. So if you're the lucky listener, here's what you have to do. So just send me an email, priscillaleona@yahoo.com, and then I'll put you in contact with the designer team in Chicago, and then they'll start the process. So all you have to do is send me an email, say, hey, I listened to your show. I want to be the one to win that shirt. And it could be for you. Oh, you will have to send your measurements, of course. It could be for you, your mom, you know, your aunt, your uncle, a family member, anyone as a birthday gift or something. I'm telling you, it is, if he had enough material, I'd have him make me one. But I don't think he has enough material. But anyway, moving on. We are back to this wonderful, wonderful actor. My God, when you see him, he is such an intense, deeply rich actor. You really need to see his work. I mean, you can see his thought process when you watch him. You're like, oh, what's he going to do next? You always want to know. He is Mark Elias. He is an actor. He's a writer. He's a producer. And Mark has appeared on a ton of hit TV shows such as CSI. Now, everybody knows CSI is one of my favorite shows. As a matter of fact, remember we had Paul on the show, Paul Guilfoyle. I know Paul never be able to pronounce your last name. Just get used to it. I can't do it. Paul played Captain Jim Brass on CSI from 2000-2014, and again he was on the show a couple of years ago. He was the star of a film that I was a producer on called Turnover. Super nice guy. But anyway, Mark was on that, but I think Mark was on after Paul was on there. I think he was on there 2016. So we'll find out. So Mark Elias also starred on Castle, Criminal Minds, Southland, Justified, 911, which not to be confused with 911 Lone Star, 911 Origin, favorite shows, Truth Be Told, and most recently, we have the most beloved character. He played Tim Rosewater on 13 episodes of the breakout hit TV show 911 Lone Star, starring one of the hottest, sexiest guys. Who wasn't in love with Rob Lowe in the 80s? Part of the Brat Pack, I think he was. But my God, I mean, we were swooning and crooning for Rob Lowe, right? We still are. It also stars Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter, fantastic actress. I love Liv Tyler, huge fan. And Gina Torres, who I used to love. She played the character Jasmine. I don't know if you guys remember. She played Jasmine on Angel. Remember Angel? Oh, one of my favorite shows. Now, Mark Elias is also a writer and a producer, and he recently was the star of the feature films Golden Boy, Boy Makes Girl, and the upcoming film currently titled We Could Be Heroes. Who doesn't want to be a hero? We all do. Now, go to his website. It's markeliasactor.com. That's markeliasactor.com. And also, I want you to give him a little thumb. He wants a little thumb too. Again, we all want little thumbs now. That used to be a perverted thing to say, but now we all want it. We all want a thumb or a forefinger. It's a good thing now. Go to Instagram, and he is under Mark Elias, M-A-R-K-E-L-I-S. He's on IMDb, Mark Elias. You can see all of his. And you want to check out his demo reel on Vimeo. So go. Oh, and on Facebook, make sure you give him a little thumb. And he's also on Twitter. So just type his name in and follow the line. So without further ado, let's get him on. I can't stand it anymore. Welcome to the show, Mark Elliott. What? Are you getting stadium applause again? My God. Stadium applause out of nowhere. Wow.
You know, it's pretty great.
I know. Don't you think that we all, as human beings, need to have, okay, so we're walking down the street. We should have our own theme music. We should have wind blowing through our hair. And I just think we should have applause everywhere we go. People clap. Why can't life be like that, Mark?
I mean, I think that it should. I think that's the next big thing we have to work towards as a society, is really just having applause for, you know.
Yes, for everything. Everything. You looked up. Applause, 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 applause. Now, I wanted to thank you so much for being a very special guest on our show today. Again, I've been dying to have you on the show since I first met you. Mark and I met at a sitcom intensive workshops with our very dear friend and gifted director, Mary Lou Belli. Weren't those classes so much fun, Mark?
Amazing. I mean, it was like, I think it was a weekend, but it felt like a lifetime, you know?
Mm-hmm. The things that woman can pack into 2 days. I mean, you'd have to take a whole semester to learn all that stuff. It's like she kept us on schedule. That's one of the things I love, because I love people that can keep you on schedule. She's like, every minute we had an action-packed adventure going on. I really miss those classes, and I hope she brings them back in the future. My God, but she's so busy, you know, directing. She's been recently directing, what, Black Panther, and then she does all of the NCIS New Orleans, and then she just did a Disney thing. So I guess she's too busy to do workshops with us, but maybe in the future we'll get lucky, right, Mark?
Yeah, she's setting the world. I mean, every time I talk to her, it's like she's got something else going. Oh. You're like, let's catch up soon, but
yeah.
Don't stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, but I'll keep your fingers crossed. And what I love most of all about her workshops was that she always used to bring in, she'd surprise you with like a very impressive entertainment. Remember, first and foremost was Jamie Donnelly, who played Jan in the hit movie Grease. And that's one of my favorite films of all time. So I still remember that. And I thought, ooh, I'm coming to her next class. So hopefully we will get back there, Mark Elias. Now, let me make sure I'm pronouncing your last name right. Is it Elias or Elias?
It's Elias.
Elias. I like that.
Or in Lebanon, in Lebanon, where we're from, it's pronounced Elias.
Elias.
So really, either one of those would be.
No, we can just call. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make sure I was cut. I'll just call you. Now, Mark, we got so much to talk about, but I want to first start with talking about 911 Lone Star. Everybody loves your character, Tim Rosewater, and the way you're, I'm like, I don't know. Let's just take it one question at a time. Okay, the way your character went out on TV was epic. Everyone that I know who watches the show is still talking about your death scene. You are going to always be remembered for that scene until the day you die. I'm telling you, you were so lucky. I mean, this might sound weird, Mark, but if you have to have a death scene getting killed with a damn lava bomb, that is the most memorable way to go. Everybody I know, they're like, oh, yeah, the guy who died from the lava bomb, I loved him. Everybody, I can't believe it, because I was like, oh, I was calling everyone after you agreed to do the show. I'm like, guess who I'm having on? I'm having on Mark, and I remember that woman. They're like, lava bomb, yes. Oh, he was great. So I'm telling you, you really have, whether there's, they realize or not, they have created a, they did a great job writing your character off the show. Now, speaking of going, do you know why they wrote such a beloved character, meet you, off of the show? I mean, was there a number of episodes discussed with you and you knew that eventually your character was going to have an epic ending? Because, you know, sometimes they write characters where that's the character, they're going to just have a revolving door. That's just it. That's the character. Eventually, that's it. So tell us about it.
Yeah, no, they didn't. It started off as, the whole process was a little crazy. Like, when I went into audition, it was, they had the sides from one of the series regulars of the LA show. So the Chimmy character was what I read for, which if anybody knows, is Kenneth Choi's amazing actor. Great person. Love those guys there. I actually did a short film with him a year or two ago.
You did the first 911. You were on there because I remember we were in the workshop and you were telling us that you had done a scene on 911 with Angela Bassett. You were like the wedding. You were the groom and you were running away from your wedding, right? And Angela Bassett handcuffed you. I'm right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like I got cold feet at the wedding and so I ran, and then the bride-to-be calls in the just-married car as stolen, so I get arrested by Angela Bassett, and then it's a whole, you know, it's a big story. It's a comedy of errors.
It was fun. You did a great job. You did a wonderful job there. And so my question, don't forget the one I asked you, but now you brought up something else. Was that how, because, you know, a lot of times when you're on a show, you make friends with people, you make connections. Is that how you auditioned for 911 Lone Star when they did the spinoff, or it had nothing to do with it?
No, I mean, I connected with the producer around that time when I did the LA 911, and we have sort of this, we shared this common interest in Buster Keaton, and I told him how I want to someday play Buster Keaton. I believe that my potential for winning an Oscar down the road somewhere has to do with a role of Buster Keaton.
Absolutely.
Playing Buster Keaton. And we kind of geeked out about Buster Keaton stuff and how I, you know,
you look a lot like him, right? Everybody.
It's kind of crazy. So we kept chatting, and then I was interning for my agent at the time. And I don't know. I mean, I was able to sort of see the breakdowns, and I saw it said, like, you know, male EMT, whatever. And so I messaged the producer and was like, hey, I don't know what you guys are thinking with this, but I'd love the opportunity. And I got that opportunity, and then I went, and then the sides came in, and it was like, this is Chimmy, this is from LA Lone Star, or LA 911, but it was like, oh, recurring guest star, and then I didn't hear anything for a while, and I didn't want to bug him, but then I booked Lucifer, and I was like, hey, man, I'm so excited, I just booked this role in Lucifer, and he's like, well, you might not be able to do it, because you are going to be Tim Rosewater on this show, and it turned out that I was able to do both, but I ended up booking both shows in the span of 20 minutes.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. And then, yeah. And then, so you, but then it's kind of open-ended. So it's like, you're going to be the EMT that's with, you know, Liv Tyler when she goes to rescues. And then that ended up being every episode of season one. And then I got that unfortunate phone call in about June when they were saying, you know, it's, I think things with COVID and this and that. And they kind of said, well, we're going to have him go out with a big bang, and you know it's going to be something that won't be forgotten in this sort of 9-1, and you might be dead, but you might not be gone. So then when they're like, you're going to be ghost haunting Rob Lowe, it was like, wow, well, at least that's a great way to go out. It's super memorable, it's great material, and sadly, love the crew, but you got to just keep going, you know.
Yeah. It is the character that you played with Nancy, who was your character's best friend on the show. She is still upset about your death. Now, I just watched the episode from earlier in the week last night, and so it's still fresh in my mind. She is not happy about them. In the very last episode, we're talking about Nancy, who's the character of Tim Rosewater. They were like best friends. So that's who we're talking about, for those of you who have no idea. And so she's not happy about them hiring someone to replace you either. Did you watch the last show when they were interviewing the candidates to replace you? your
character? Oh, yeah. I mean,
it was so funny. It was so funny, wasn't it? They had a bunch of incompetent candidates, and they really did a great job with the writing, though, because we thought that Pierce Risher was going to be a replacement, but then he quit because, you know, people weren't playing right, and I think that Rob Lowe's character called him a coward, and so then I think the captain's son is going to be a replacement, but they didn't really lock that in. But do you know if you can't tell us anything, but that wouldn't be right, but but it was really funny, the other, you know, the other characters that they wrote in, the things that they did. It take a moment. I don't know if you know my friend, Cleo King. She was on the show on the last episode. She played the character of Cynthia Strickland. She was the mother of the character Paul Strickland, played by Brian Michael.
Yeah.
Cleo. Yeah. She, you remember, she was on, I have loved this woman since first saw on Boston Public. I had a small role on Boston Public. Mark Harmon directed it, and he is such a lovely man. He gave me so many compliments. He told me, he said, you should pursue it. But I thought he was a nice guy. But I started watching the show when I first saw her. She had a line, Mark, and she was a mother at the school, and she would say, smell this shoe. This is the smell of injustice. And you know, she is just hysterical, Mike and Molly, but she's a phenomenal comedic actress. Been on everything, but I had tears running down my face. But she was the lady on the show that played Paul's mother. So I don't know if she's going to be a recurring character, but I thought that they really, the script was really, really tight last night. I really loved it. Are you continually watching the show? I mean,
I'm so supportive of everybody else that's on the show, and we're all really good friends. I mean, we're all actually do like a weekly Zoom just to stay in touch. Most of the cast, not everybody, but a good like a strong core of us.
Yeah.
So it's like we're all pulling for each other, and you can't ask for a better environment. I know that there's been some sets where I've walked on where you're like, I don't know what this energy is that's going on, but I'm just going to kind of survive over here.
Talking on Lucifer, I love that man. I had never even seen him or knew who he was before he was on Lucifer, but did you like working on that show? Was that good?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was actually the same building downtown that I had shot an episode of Castle in. So I was like, well, I'm familiar with this place. But it was great. Like, the director was super fun, and everybody was, it was just was like people were grounded, which was really cool. Like, it wasn't, you weren't dealing with egos or dealing with any crazy. It was a great process. It ended up, the footage ended up great. I was super excited when I saw it. I was like, that's better than I saw it in my head. So that was a pleasant surprise.
That man single-handedly brought that show back from the dead, right? Because they had canceled it, and he went on this massive social media campaign, and he was able to take that show, bring it back, and then bring it to Netflix. So, but I guess he couldn't revive it again, but I love him. I hope to see him again. Now, we have to talk about your so you're going to be moving on to so many projects, and you do so many things, but I wanted to talk about the upcoming release of Boy Makes Girl. First of all, just tell us a little bit about the premise of the movie. Was this your idea? Just tell us everything about it and what's going on with it.
Yeah, so I initially wrote the script in probably 2017, and I just am fascinated by artificial intelligence, but in like a very human realistic way. Like, I wanted to take a look at what the positive and negative things might be our experience with artificial intelligence in our everyday lives. So that's kind of where it came from. You know, we crowdfunded it, so it definitely is like an indie film. Our budget was insanely low, pulled miracles off left and right to make it. It's almost done post-production, so we're just trying to get down the home stretch with it and then put a
So Boy Meets World, is that the film of yours that's in post-production?
Boy Meets Girl, yeah.
Boy Meets Girl. What the hell did I say? I don't know what I said, but Boy Meets Girl. Yes, because I think that I was, I donated to that film. So I cannot wait to see it when it comes out. What are your expectations as far as when it's going to be released? What do you think?
I'm hoping that it'll be released by, I'm going to go say early to mid-summer. We still have a little bit of stuff to finish up. And then once we get a distribution deal, I think we need to get all the deliverables out the door. But I'm in it. Paul Dooley is in it, who was the dad in 16 Candles, and he's Sarge in the Cars franchise. And he was in Grease, too. He's been in everything.
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited. I remember him now. I'm seeing him in my brain. Yes. How did you get him?
Friend of a friend. And he said yes to it. And then we got John Billingsley, who was Dr. Phlox or Phlox in Star Trek Enterprise.
Phlox! Oh my God! My husband's like a huge Star Wars, Star Trek. So he the guy with the little spots, and he had like the ginger colored hair. Oh yeah, you got a great cast.
So we're excited about it. It's an indie film, but really has a lot of heart behind it. And our DP, our producer, everybody was so good that it just came out way better than you might imagine a low budget film to be. But yeah, I mean, we're excited about it, and we think that it's going to have a nice little run. So it's just a matter of time now, just trying to make sure to get people to put it on their list and get ready to see it once it starts coming out. And
what can we do as an audience to help you make that happen? Is there anything we can do?
We're still trying to find just like a tiny bit of money to finish up the post-production process, which is crazy because it just seems like there's always more money that's needed, but we're really close to the end. It's just the sound design and sound mixing needs to get done. And then we are going to shop it around to a couple distributors that we know. And, then it would be, hopefully out for streaming purposes, ASAP. It's exciting. It's a long process, but it's exciting.
No, it is. Now, what did you as an actor, because you're an actor, a writer, producer, as an actor, of course, you have practically everything handed to you. You just have to show up and reveal your talent. But what does it look like from the other end? I mean, I feel that you're doing the right thing because as an actor, you cannot wait for your phone to ring, so to speak. You got to get out there, make your own projects, and get your talents seen in whatever way you can. And you're doing that by your writing your own projects, you're producing your own projects. But it is a very long process as being an actor and then being the filmmaker. What are the differences?
There's so much. I think one of the things that I think I was pretty lucky early. I mean, this is the second time that I've written and started in a feature that, we crowdfunded, but it's a thing where you kind of go like, okay, this is once the writing is done, we're leaving it alone. Like that's going to be what it is because we're going to go into actor mode, and producer mode means just trusting that everybody else that's on the project is going to, do the best they can and do a great job. And usually, you work with the kind of people that you like and know, so you can trust them. So it's kind of like a thing where you do have to decide and draw some lines as to like where one hat goes on and another one comes off, because you're not just an actor regardless. It's like you're always trying to make sure everything is taken care of and thinking three steps ahead production wise and with the team. And then remembering that you need to go into actor mode, which means blocking out other things and focusing on the environment and every scene that you have to do.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that it takes a little bit of like, you need to be able to lean on other people a lot and make sure that you're always present when the camera's rolling. So it's a huge learning experience.
It's hard for, I mean, we have actors. actors who are seasoned like 30, 40, 50 years, and they still say that it's a very difficult thing to be an actor and to be a producer and writer all, you know, at the same time. There's so many hats that it can stifle the creative abilities that you have when you're doing your character. So I envy anyone who can do that. I'm going to take a question right now because she has sent two of them. Robin from Long Island, she said, "Hey, Mark, here's another one. Loved your lava bomb scene. I've never seen anyone killed off like that before. I will remember it for a long, long time." So my question to you is, how has your acting evolved since you first began? And again, that's Robin, Long Island. Thank you, Robin.
How has it evolved since it first began? I think that in a way it's always evolving. I think, like, I started studying when I moved to LA, like I studied at Beverly Hills Playhouse and I studied around at some other places, and you learn whether or not you have the tools, I think. Like, does this feel comfortable with what I'm doing? And it felt incredibly comfortable. Then you learn sort of the depths of your own emotions and where you can push the buttons and pull certain triggers to allow for certain things to happen. I know it sounds very vague, but it's sort of like your process evolves. And I think sometimes it's organically, but you learn to become more specific and you learn how to front load a scene maybe a little bit more. So if you know where it's going in the end, you learn to sort of front load it in a way that you know where the scene is going. You can start as far from that as possible. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I think part of that is like you learn more things about playing when a character might have status or what kind of circumstances might charge a scene in a different way. And, you know, I think that part of that is differentiating. When I was in high school and I'd watch something, and I think often that the actors are doing what is always there on the page. And then you learn that that's not always the case. But the bottom line with acting, I think, is that I think that we're charged with owning the thoughts and the emotions of that character that we are playing. So when you look at it in framing it in that way, you can imagine a lot of circumstances or relationships, and how they feel about those relationships. So I think you just fine tune it over time and you begin to become more specific instinctually.
Yeah. Oh, so there you go, Robin, from Mark. That's how you do it. Now, one more question. This is from Lori from Shreveport. I imagine that's Louisiana, unless there's another one, but I'm going to just say, "Hey, Mark, loved you on 911 Lone Star. I can't wait to see you on another show. I just wanted to know what events in your life played the greatest role shaping your acting career." Wow, that's intense. That's a long...
That is a...
Yeah, you might have to condense that down to like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
It's what you got to think about. Wanted to know what events in your life played the greatest role shaping your acting career. That could be so much, because you, at 15, you lived in Spain and you learned how to speak Spanish. That could have influenced something. You were born in Houston and then raised in Philadelphia. That might have been like something. And what else I was impressed with was your, I read this on your IMDb bio. I hope it's correct, because a lot of times I read it and they're like, I have no idea who wrote that, but it has nothing to do with me. But I had read something about you. You're active in helping dogs find forever homes, and you work to help others overcome anxiety and depression through your own experiences. So that could have been something. So, you know, what would you feel would be the best answer?
I think that
I think that a lot of things that happen to us in our childhood will formulate stuff in ways that we might not even know. I know that not having a lot of friends in high school was something where I sort of was, I found that I was okay with that. And I was working at like a video store and I started like just say, you know, like, oh, you know, people say The Graduate's a great movie, so I'm going to watch that. And then I saw Dustin Hoffman. And then I was like, he's really good. What else has he done? And I saw like, and so I saw Rain Man and I saw Midnight Cowboy. And I was like, this guy just changes completely from role to role. And that's when I think I really started to like, and then I saw, when I saw Good Will Hunting, I was like, I know who that character and that guy is. And that's a very similar person to me. And so I think that those things sort of were the guidepost that was like, this is something you could do. But then at that time, it was like, nobody in Philadelphia, you don't know that this is a career you can have. So I didn't know what a headshot was. When I moved to LA, I didn't really know anybody that lived here. I knew nobody in the business. So it was definitely, I think that there's a lot, like just signposts that things that lead you in that direction when you're younger.
I have another. Oh, you know what? I have a great question. I want to get this question out there. This is good. Larry, you just did a great job with this question. All right. I actually have never heard this question being asked of an actor. It's from Larry from Boston. And he said, hey, Mark, you rock as Tim Rosewater. I wish that I had that character to do. Oh, Lord. Okay. Wish I had the character to do. I don't know. Sometimes people write and you don't know what the hell they're writing. Okay. So I'm an aspiring actor, just taking classes now. Very hard profession. Don't know if I'm going to continue. But I wanted to know, what is your acting kryptonite? Mine are auditions.
What is my acting kryptonite? Ooh. Auditions are tough. Auditions are a beast in themselves. What is my? I think maybe my acting kryptonite would be if I get something. Sometimes if I get something really late at night, and they're like, it's due the next day, and I'm like, it's late. Like I cannot get off book right now. Yeah. Can you give me 24 hours? And there's times when they're like, no, and you're like, okay, well, you're gonna get the best that I'm gonna get in less than 24 hours, but I'm telling you right now that y'all got 24 hours. Yeah. You can give us some time to do the best that we can do because you're not shooting this tomorrow. Like, you're not. You say you are, you're not. And so I think that like that's one thing where I'm just like, can I get 24 hours? If you want me to do a 3-page monologue, give me 24 hours. I don't know. I guess I'd say that would be my kryptonite.
Oh, I got a good one. Oh, this is from Helen from Bedford. I don't know where these places are. Bedford what? Bedford Falls?
Bedford is probably Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. She said,
I know a Bedford, Pennsylvania.
Well, she goes, hey, Mark, I want to watch you forever. Please come back. Well, I bet you they're going to call him back. I don't know, probably as a ghost or some scenes for Nancy, but I bet you he's coming back. Okay, she said, so if you could go back in time and give yourself must-have advice or a warning about pursuing a career as an actor, what would you say to yourself?
That's such a great question.
Thanks, Helen.
I think one thing is don't be afraid of anything. Because at first I was told early, like, don't just be an actor. Don't do your own projects. And then after a while, I just was like, no, I like writing. I'm going to do my own stuff. And it does pay off over time. But you know, you don't realize that the amount of time it's going to take and the luck that – they're not luck, but the variables that come into play are often just if somebody's like, oh, I don't like the way he looks.
Even if you have, you know, done a great job auditioning. So I think those are some of the things that I would probably say to myself. But I've always had the confidence that I'm good and I know what I'm doing. And so I just want to continually get better.
Yeah. How do you decide, Mark? How do you decide on what the next steps are in your career. Like, what is your mental process? Okay, so you want a hit show, character's gone. What do you do? Like, what are your next steps? Do you just continue doing the auditions, or what's your mental process? How do you move on?
Yeah, well, first it's tough. You have to mourn the loss of that character, you know, in a way. And then it's also a thing of adjusting. Like, once I landed on the show, I had to take a little bit of time to go, okay, this is going to adjust. Now we're shifting out of certain pursuits. And with this, I should be able to aim for these things. And so now it's about, like, well, I want to work in the Marvel universe. I want to work on a Star Wars show. I love Star Wars as a kid, so that's just like a personal passion of mine. And I almost worked with David Fincher. I had 3 callbacks for Charlie Chaplin in the movie that he shot with Gary Oldman that I didn't get. And so it's like these are like kind of my goals for this year. Like, that's how I want to attack 2021. I want to be a series regular on another hit show for, you know, a network. So then it's like, that's when you adjust. The steps are moving forward is like, those are the things I want to aim for. Right. So it's kind of like, you just have to say, okay, well, this is where we're at now. This is amazing. You know, take a night off or something, but then tomorrow, like, how can we focus on getting from A to B?
Yeah, because that's because of 911 Lone Star is it's now in your skill set. It's in your tool stack. It's in your work stack. It's a building block. So everybody knows you. And that is like the best thing they could have done is to take you out with that lava bomb, because I cannot tell you how many people are going to remember you. And it's going to open so many doors for you. Now, with your right now, you're in the development process of your next film, which is currently titled We Could Be Heroes. Does that have anything to do with your desire to get into the DC universe?
So that script was written also in 2017. And then now I know that there's a show called We Can Be Heroes. It's on Netflix.
Oh.
And that came out, and I was like, well, I got to change the name of this. But We Could Be Heroes is a comedy crime story. It's like if you mix nice guys with kick-ass. So it's going to be – it's just a fun ride. It's going to be, you know, this wannabe detective, and then the girl next door has her gaming console stolen, and he wants to be a detective. And so it's like an odd couple comedy crime. It's an odd couple duo comedy crime story. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And part of it, you know, I've done rewrites. I finished the last rewrite on December 30th, and the script feels great. It feels ready to go. And I've been connecting the dots with financing slowly over time. So just trying to get this, you know, get the amount.
A crowd fundraising page at
one
of the sites?
Are you going that route? Right now, I'm just trying to work with investors. So I've got a couple, but I don't have enough to get us started. So it's
got it.
It's a long process, but
it is. I want people to realize, you know, Mark is out there. He is, you know, beating the pavements, pursuing his career as an actor. And then he's also a writer and producer. And a writer and a producer, they are each, those are all 3 jobs are so mentally intense, and they take so much creativity in their own way. You would think an actor, oh, you got to be, you know, 100% creative. But when you're a producer of the same movie and the writer, you have to do that as well, because he's doing 3 jobs. He's doing the job of 3 people plus, you know, the other things that are involved. So, but you're out there doing it, and you're trying, and you're making connections, and people are going to respect that. You got to respect your game. Your game. It's top notch, right?
I hope so. I mean, yeah, I'm always trying to level up. I think the game is always to level up. And for me, just not get, I don't really get complacent. I like to always have things going on. So for me, it's natural. But you do have to give yourself I'm stopping writing now. I can tweak it forever, but you'll end up tweaking for a whole nother year. Instead of now, it's time to put it down, and now is the time to focus on finding the funding.
Yeah.
And then once that gets locked in, you can go back to the script, and then you do acting prep once it's time to get ready to shoot the film. So you really have to be disciplined with yourself about what you want to do and what you don't want to do, and know that what you don't want to do has to get done. So don't keep putting it off. You have to attack it head on.
Do you work with a specific team of people, or are you like a one-man show with your films?
Well, at this point, I'm running a lot of it myself. But the thing is, like, it's like once I get the financing connected, then I'll be able to, you know, then you're able to hire producer, line producer, location manager. You're able to hire people to do the jobs you're going to need to have done, and let, you know, let the director take over the project in a certain aspect, so you can really just become the actor focusing on the, you know, the craft.
Right.
So it's part of being a one man job. And I do have a line producer and a producer that I work with who are chiming in and helping out as I go. But largely it's just going to be on my shoulders until enough momentum is there for other people to come on board and be inspired to do this project with me.
So what are some of the do's and don'ts of pursuing a career as an actor? Just maybe, you know, two of each, two do's, two don'ts.
I would say do be proactive in every sense. You have to be proactive, and you do need to be dedicated and always strive for more. I know, over the years, it's like I've been in class with somebody. It's like they get a co-star in a show, and that's kind of where they're, you know, they kind of burn out there. That's they do it, and they kind of move on to something else. And I think if it's something that you want to do, you have to be honest with yourself about, this is something I'm going to be committed to over the long haul. You know, and it's like you can tell somebody, do not quit, but it's like if it's up to them to quit, that's their decision.
Right.
You just, you be real with yourself. And the do nots are, like, I would say partially, like, you want to say do not say no to projects when you're starting out, because you never know where it's going to land and who you're going to network in with and what's going to do for your reel. You know, I think it's always like have goals in mind. Do not just jump in and say, I want to be an actor, and then think that the world is going to take it from there. You have to put it out into the universe, but you have to know, what kind of actor are you? What do you want to do? I love doing indie films, lead roles in indie films that have integrity to them. That's something I'm always going to want to do. So there's stuff like that where you have to, you should be specific. Do not be vague.
This is the last question I got this in. The last one, and we're not going to be taking any more questions. This is from Crystal from Bay Ridge. Again, if you could put the state, that would be good, people. Crystal from Bay Ridge. Okay. Hey, Mark, love you, love you, love you. I did see you in Lucifer. Well, you know what? I got to go back and look at, you got to tell me, I got to go back and look at that. Okay. I want to know, what do you feel are the biggest obstacles being an actor? My mother does not want me to pursue a career. She wants me to go to college. I want to be an actor big time.
Ooh, the biggest obstacle.
I say money, having a date, having a job, because let me tell you, people, do not bring your asses out to LA with $50 in your pocket thinking that you are going to hit it big. You don't know how many people I've seen come out here with like $100, $200, and they think they're going to walk into an agent's office, and people, Mark, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people, they see acting and they think, what's the big deal? I can do that. They give up their whole life. They move out here or go to New York, and they don't have enough money to rent an apartment or have a car or to be able to pay for anything. And they think they're going to walk into an agent's office and they're going to be discovered. It does not work that way all the time. I have heard that happening for some people, but 99% of the time that's not going to happen. So I would like to chime in, and then Mark can give me his thoughts, but I would say, please don't come to LA or New York with a couple $100 in your pocket. Please save at least enough money to be able to afford an apartment, to have a car, and pay your utilities for at least 1 year. You got to do it. If not, you're going to come out here, your money is going to be gone. Christ, you buy a couple tacos and a couple brewskis and your ass is going to be broke out here. And you're going to go back. You're going to be taking your saggy little ass back to wherever you came from. And then you're going to be blaming it on something that is your fault because you didn't plan. Remember, like my grandmother said, if you fail to plan, then plan to fail. So I would say, please make sure you have enough money. What do you think the obstacles are being an actor? Because you need money for headshots. They're expensive. I mean, you can find some, inexpensive photographers, and you could do it yourself. But, there's so many things involved. There's a lot of payola that goes on. If you get an agent, they're like, oh, I don't like your pictures. You have to go to this photographer, and this photographer gets a cut. It's just the way it is in the world. But money, I would say, is the biggest obstacle if you're going to become an actor. Okay. So what do you think, Mark?
It's money and another M. I think it's mental. I think you can't in a year I'm going home. It's something you have to commit yourself to. It's a vocation. You gotta have goals and you have to want to put a timeline to things, but I think that people's attitudes is that you always have to be adjusting it and checking it. And a lot of people want to be celebrities. Very few want to be artists. And there's a big difference there.
Right. Right. Some people just want to be a celebrity and a star, and you want to do it because you want to be an actor. Do you want to play characters? Are you really genuinely interested in being a detective one day and the next day this character? It's got to be that you love to play for characters. If you just want to come out here because you want to be a Kardashian, well, no, that role's already taken. All right. Well, yeah. That time has come. All right. So please let me know what we can do to help you with We Could Be Heroes or whatever the title is. Look for the release of Mark's film, Boy Makes Girl. That is such a fantastic title. I love that. I hope you don't change that. And let's pursue stalking Mark on his career. No, we don't want to do that. But really, we do because we want to build your fan base. But please go to his website and check him out. He's got so many layers. He's like a big Bermuda onion. He's got so many layers that you could peel. We would have to take 3 or 4 hours to find out all about Mark. And then we probably would need more time. But please go to his website and you can learn so much more about him. Mark, E-L-I-A-S, actor.com. Okay. And then Instagram, give him a little thumb. Facebook, give him a little thumb. Follow him. IMDb, look at all of his credits. And also check out his demo reel. It's super intensely good. I love it. Go check it out on Vimeo. So there you go. There is Mark from our wonderful, wonderful character. But you have cemented your place in history with that lava bomb. People are going to be copying that like you would not believe. They're going to be copying that shit left and right. I guarantee you there's going to be at least 5 or 6 more shows where they do that, right?
I hope so.
But all right, Mark, say goodbye to your fans, boy.
Bye, everybody. Have a great rest of your night.
Yes, and Mark, PM me because I got a couple friends who are distributors, and we'll talk about it. So PM me and remind me because 5 minutes after I get off the call, I won't remember what the hell's going on. But, yeah, I'll hook you up. All right?
Okay.
Okay, sweetie. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.